Whenever a priest has been in a parish for a long time, actually, let me just put it, what I'm saying is general to all priests, but I'm going to speak about myself. I've been here almost, this is my 21st year, and I have bad news and good news for you. Okay, the good news is I'm not being moved until I retire. The bad news, I'm not being moved until I retire. You know, it all depends on, you know, one of my favorite things to say is that in any given parish, 20% of the people think that the pastor walks on water. 20% of the people would like to see the pastor permanently below the water. And 60% of the people think the whole thing is all wet and could not care less. So, it all depends. But I've been here a long time. And one of the things that I any priest that has been a long time in a parish, you know, I always struggle with it. Because I read a lot. And I think a lot. And so, the struggle insofar as giving talks or a homily is how much new stuff should I introduce? Because periodically when I say some things that I've said before, I'll get, sometimes people will say, oh, Father, you've said that before. And I'll go, well, yeah. But then again, the problem that I struggle with is that when I look over the congregation, I see at any given celebration, I see at least 10 to 20% of the people I've never seen before. Okay. And so part of me is struggling with, well, there's some things that are so important that I should say them a couple of times a year. But then, because everybody's got to get on the same page. Anyway, that's a long way of saying, today I'm going to do a review. I'm going to do a review because it is something that I feel so strongly about. You know, I've been a priest now for this June 3rd. Will be my anniversary. It'll be my 41st anniversary of being a priest. And if you were to ask me what's the thing I've noticed most in terms of ministry, I'd have to tell you that I really don't think the majority of people know what it means to love. It just is amazing to me how we use that word all the time. And most of the time, I was talking to a person the other day, a person who was engaged in an adulterous relationship. And they were feeling guilty about it. And they were talking to me. And they kept on justifying it by saying, but I'm in love with her. I'm in love with her. As if saying I'm in love with her excused everything. And this person would say to me, aren't we supposed to love? How could this be wrong when it, God, that's even a song. How could this be wrong when it feels so right? And because I love her. And I wanted to pull my hair out, except there wasn't any, you know, to pull. But it tells you the lack of understanding of what love is. And when, because period, you know, in the second reading, you hear, God is love. Correct. God is love. And so people think, well, if I am doing this, X, Y, Z, because I love, therefore that must mean I'm doing it again in accordance with God. Yes and no. In other words, you've got a totally screwed up understanding of love. Not totally insufficient, but pretty screwed up. So what I want to do is, for those of you who have heard me talk about the four loves before, and Jessica included, just take it as a review. There's a whole bunch of people who say, what do you mean four loves? Let me tell you. What I'm talking about is the Greeks. The Greeks had four words for love. And I have found that keeping that in mind, whenever I say love, I always want to, inside my head, I'm going, which one am I, what am I talking about? And you'll understand once I tell you. Because it's going to clarify a lot of things in terms of, if you've never thought in these terms, it's going to clarify a lot. Okay. So for us, we have the word love. I love this. We can say, for example, I love chocolate. And I do. But what does that mean? I love my dog. What does that mean? I love my children. I don't have any, but I love my children. That's great. Does it mean the same thing as when I look at a person that I'm married to and I say, or I'm going steady with or whatever, and I say, I love you? I'm using the same word. But all of us know that it means something different in every single one of those contexts. But for us in English, it's really blurry. And so here's a little nugget to help you make sense out of what's going on. You see, the Greeks had four different words. And here they are. I'm going to give them to you in Greek, and then I'm going to give them their English equivalents. Three of them have English equivalents. The fourth does not, but you'll recognize it. The first one, and I say this every time I do a wedding, the first one is Eros, E-R-O-S, Eros. Now, Eros, for the Greek, was being in love. It's romance. It's when you look in your lover's eyes and you go, I love you. That's romance. I realize that's not extremely romantic. I love you. But that's Eros or sexual. You know, maybe you're hot or stuff like that. That's sexual. That's where we get by the word. This is why we get the word erotic. Because it comes from the word Eros. Sexual or romantic love. Now that's the first one. Not in any order of importance. The second word is philia. Now, philia is a word that means affection. It's affection. So, for example, when you go to Philadelphia, you're going to Philadelphia. Philia is brotherly love or friendship love. The love of a deep friendship. And of course, Delphos is brothers. And so Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. That's why. So philia is when you say to a friend of yours, I love you. You're my good friend. You're not being romantic, but you're acknowledging that there's a bond, a deep bond within two of you. That's what's called philia. Now the third one is one that is very unfamiliar, but it's probably the most common kind of love. And the third one is called storge. S-T-O-R-G-E. Sometimes people call it storge or storge. Storge is affection. It's the most common. You can have different levels of affection. For example, you could have your dog, and you could say, I really love my dog. But you don't eros your dog. You don't philia your dog. Well, I mean, sometimes, but it's not a true friend, but it's not philia. But you storge that animal. But not only that, you can storge your country. I love my country. I have a deep affection for my country. Your children. I have tremendous, probably the deepest form of affection, that you die for your children. So it's not a light-hearted anything, but it's a love that is very wide, and a lot of things fall into it. Okay, when you say, I love chocolate, that could mean I storge chocolate. Right? It's affection for that and attraction for that. So here you have these three. You have romantic love, eros. You have friendship love, deep friendship, not Facebook friendship, deep friendship, which is called philia. And then you have storge, which is affection. I have a lot of affection for XYZ. Now, when Jesus says, my commandment to you is that you love one another, he is not talking about any of those three. When Jesus says, love your enemy, he's not saying, have a romance with your enemy. He's not saying, have affection for your enemy. He's not saying, have a friendship with your enemy. So what's he doing? He's using the fourth. And the fourth is the foundation of all the others. The fourth love is agape, or agape, pronounced both ways. Agape. Now, what is agape? To agape someone means that you care for what is good for them regardless of how you feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if you like them or if you don't like them. You just agape them. Meaning you want what is good for them. When Jesus on the cross, when he looked up to God his Father, and he had every reason to say, Father, look what these idiots have done to me. He had every reason to say, Father, to hell with all of them. Let's start creation all over again. But what were the words that come out of his mouth? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He loved us, but I don't think he was romantic. I don't think he was particularly feeling friendly. And I don't think he had affection. He made a decision. And the decision was to talk to his father. Now, this is what I find, this is my favorite part. Do you notice that Jesus does not forgive us directly? I just find that amazing. He could have just super simple. He could have just said, I forgive you. Three words. I forgive you. Talking directly to us. Who's he talking to? Not talking to us. He's talking to his father. And what's he talking about? He's talking to God, his father, because he's concerned about us. And when Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, that's what he's talking about. He is talking about doing what he did on the cross, the ultimate moment of forgiveness. You are to go to your father and join your father in being concerned about the person you want to be concerned about. That's love. That is agape. And you can do that no matter how you feel. That my favorite definition of love is this, and many of you have heard it. I should have it tattooed somewhere. I haven't got any tattoos, but maybe someday. Love at its core is the decision to unite yourself with God in caring for the good of another, no matter how you feel. Let me say it again. Love at its core is the decision to unite yourself with God in caring for the good of another, no matter how you feel. That is agape. Now, the first three are voluntary. You don't have to romance anybody. That's up to you. You don't have to be friends with anybody. That's up to you. You don't have to have affection for anybody. That's up to you. But you have a duty to agape everybody, even your enemies. You don't have to like them. You don't have to like them. God knows, let me tell you, as a priest, I got to meet a lot of people. And most people I like. But man, every once in a while I meet somebody that just, and they're parishioners. And I got to love them. But I'm not attracted to them in any way, shape, or form. But I got to love them. Because I promised God that I would love them. Doesn't mean I have to have a romance or friendship or affection. It means that whatever I decide to do, I always have to unite myself with God in being a reflection of what God wants for them. No matter how I feel. That is your duty. That is your duty. 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 Got it? Larry, got it. And so, when Jesus is saying, love as I have loved you, that's what he's talking about. You know, when I talk to couples and they're getting married, they're all, you know, the whole I love you and everything else. And I always remind them, look, I don't care. I hope you love each other for the rest of your lives. Romance. But you can't promise that. What do you mean? No. Have you ever love as romance is a feeling and a desire. Can you decide to have a feeling? There's nobody that can get up in the morning and say, today I think I'll feel this way. Poof, and I feel that way. You can't. Why do you think we say, I fell in love? Because you fall into your feelings. You don't choose them. You fall into them. Your feelings or your desires. And so I say to the couple, look, you're not promising to be in love for the rest of your lives. You are promising to struggle with each other. And yes, you may be in love and you may have affection and you may be great friends, but regardless, you are promising that for the rest of your lives, you will unite yourself with God in caring for the good of the other as your husband and wife, no matter how you feel. It doesn't mean things are going to be easy. It doesn't mean you bury your feelings. It means you struggle with your feelings, with your attitudes. It means you struggle for both of you to come to what God wants for the two of you. It's not a hunky-dory, everything's going to be fine. It's struggle. And anytime you want to love, believe me, look behind me, that was a struggle. Wasn't easy to love us. And so, that's what each one of us owes. We owe it. That, you know, I always imagine this. Imagine you were building a house. And imagine you decide you got a plot of ground and you say, okay, let's put the floor down. And so you lay some boards down. And then you, let's put the walls up. And okay, you put the ceiling up and the roof. That's nice. What did you forget? The foundation. What's going to happen the moment that ground underneath those boards gets soggy? It is not going to stand because it has no foundation. The first three loves can never stand unless there's a foundation. And the foundation is agape. You got to have that. The other three go like this. Sometimes you're in love, sometimes not so much. Okay? Sometimes you have affection, sometimes you hate somebody. What you gonna do? Are you gonna behave according to how you feel? Good luck. Good luck. You're gonna be in and out of tons of relationships and you're never gonna have love. Real love. And so, that's why it's so important. This is, to me, the central aspect of the commandments of the gospel. That's why Jesus kept on saying, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. It's not like the guy who was telling me, but Father, I am in love with her. What I was hearing was, but Father, I am in eros with her. And I was thinking, yes, but you promised agape to your wife. And I don't care how you feel eros for this new lady, you agape'd your wife. You made a decision and you promised that decision. And you can promise your decisions. You can't promise your eros. And please understand, I'm not against being in love. Okay, don't go out of here thinking that I'm against being in love. Any of you who are in love, oh please, wallow in it as long as you want. And you know, I've been there. Okay, just because I'm a priest doesn't mean I periodically don't see somebody go, oh, I think I'm in love. And then I go, okay, Mario, get over it. Can move on. I can't tell you how many times I've fallen in love in my life. It's just, I think sometimes people don't think that priests have feelings, you know. God, of course I've fallen in love, but I just choose not to follow it because I made a promise. What did I do? I made a promise to agape God and agape you. And that governs all the other things that happen. Can't follow it. So, that was my review. Okay? So, I hope it was a good review. Did you like it, Jessica? Was it okay? Okay. Jessica is a friend of mine, and she comes to all of my classes and stuff like that, and she's heard stuff like this, and Larry too, and all these people have heard me 1,000 times. But I'm not getting transferred. You're going to hear it again. Thank you for listening to me.